Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
We got the doctor. One of our favorites, Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine. Thank you for joining us today, doctor. So are we past the flu peak? Are you still seeing COVID or is it RSV? What's bringing people to the clinic or the ER or walk-in these days?
Well, we hope we're on the decline past the recent surge. We know the COVID, the flu, RSV was hitting all at the same time, the holidays. But it seems to be on the decline. Still time to get vaccinations. Still recommend the COVID booster. Still recommend flu shot because we're definitely not out of the woods. But it's on the decline a little bit.
Our conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Speaking of vaccinations, what is up with the measles popping up? Is this because people are coming from other countries who were never vaccinated, or are there too many people in this country not vaccinated? What's happening?
Oh, it's both. So in 2000, we thought we had the measles under control. There were no cases in 2000. We thought, oh, hooray, great, we'll just keep up with it. Well, we did not keep up with it. Then more than 95% of children were immunized. The adults had high immunity. We were good. But since 2000, the immunization rates just sagged a little bit. We're maybe 92%. Doesn't sound bad. But we increased international travel, both international visitors coming, us going. And now in 2003, we had 56 cases. Doesn't sound like a lot. But measles, it can be dangerous to young kids. It's miserable for everybody. It's really preventable, and it's hyper-infectious. 90% chance if you have low immunity, if you're around a person with measles, 90% chance you're just going to get it. The problem is it lingers in the air. It just goes into the air. It can stay an hour or two, even after a measles person left the area. So I think airports where measles just can fill the air. So that's why the announcements, that's why the sensitivity, because it can be under control. It's really infectious, but we can just do better if we get the immunity a little bit higher.
Yeah, and I was seeing that that's where they keep, you know, sending out the warnings. Hey, if you're at this airport, you're at that airport, somebody had measles. And so that person can be in a, let's say you're in the waiting area, waiting to board. So they can board a plane and 2 hours later, someone in that area could contract measles.
Yep, it can linger in the air for an hour to two. And then, and think of the people passing by, and it's so contagious. And so everybody's immunity has to be high. Yeah, and they could be gone from the area and you could still breathe it in. So that's why high immunity. Then after you breathe it in, it takes between maybe 10 to 14 days for the measles to show up. So you're not going to get sick for 10 to 14 days. But then the high fever hits, you have eye redness and runny nose. You know you got a virus with high fever. 3 to 5 days after that high fever, you break out in a big rash. And that's measles. The doctors have to think of it and recognize it because it's miserable. But most of us have not seen a lot of measles.
Right. So the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella, when did they start giving all three? I thought that when I was a kid, you just got the measles shot.
That's right. So it was, but in the late 60s, you're good. And so I'm 61. I got a booster when I was in medical school to make sure. But if you've got immunized when you're young, you really do have immunity. If you're over the age of 50, you can talk to your doctor about it just to be sure of it. But pretty much if you kept up with your vaccinations, you're good. And anybody who needed kind of extra, the recommendations went out, the doctors would have. So just talk to your doctor about it. They'll calculate your age. You're okay.
We're always happy when there's any kind of news about Alzheimer's and, you know, what the future holds for patients and people who are concerned if it's in their family. Not that there's always a hereditary link, but is this new blood test that screens for Alzheimer's, it's not going to cure it, but it screens for it. Is this a promising test?
Oh, it is. So Alzheimer's is very hard to diagnose. You need a lot of scans, maybe spinal taps, check to see how much protein's accumulated in the brain that correlates with Alzheimer's. And so people have been searching, can I see if I can detect those proteins in the blood? And previously, the proteins, yeah, they were there, and they would predict maybe a bit of risk, but they weren't diagnostic. Well, more recently, a study came out that shows they can detect the a protein in the blood that really does have high correlation with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. Very exciting, still is not on the market yet. Everybody's very much looking forward to this, because if the diagnosis of Alzheimer's can be easier, that's going to be a massive importance, so that we can then also discover treatments and therapies that are starting to emerge also.
Absolutely. So yeah, there's a lot emerging in that space. That's good news. Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine, is with us. Mary's going to check weather and traffic. We're going to come back and talk about depression and how it strikes people with heart issues or heart failure, and what they know about this and what might help. But first, we'll head to Mary. Do you find humor in our music bumps when we have Jan, Doc?
I like it.
Okay, good. I hope this doesn't offend him. Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine, is with us. We always love having you on once a month. One of the stories that stuck with me is depression striking people with heart failure. Sometimes it's just people who are, you know, struggling with, I guess, heart failure. That's congestive heart failure, but that seems to be an issue. What's the correlation?
So more than half the people with serious heart failure have depression. And so this is a good study, because it compared antidepressants versus other approaches of kind of focused activity engagement. So they did the study, and a year later, about half of the depressed people were markedly better. But the patients who had antidepressants, great, it helped about half of them. But what was equally effective was a behavioral activation psychotherapy, a therapist who guided the individual to have structured effort to engage in activities that they enjoyed, whether it was walking or socializing, whatever activities, and they scheduled it, they had them do it. And the people who had this behavioral activation of things that they enjoyed had also a 50% decline, as good or better than antidepressants. And the people who had behavioral activation had fewer hospitalizations compared to patients on antidepressants. So it's a very, very good therapeutic approach. And so I was excited about this study. This behavioral activation psychotherapy seems to be something that we would recommend.
A few questions coming in about measles before I let you go. Somebody said, I had measles as a child. Am I immune?
Yeah, you're immune. You're good. You'll have good immunity for life.
Awesome. And does the measles cling and or survive on surfaces or just in the air?
Principally in the air. It'll hang in the air. People will breathe it in, and that's how they get infected. So less on the surfaces.
All right. Thank you so much for taking our questions and being a part of the show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Dr. Bye-bye. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine.